headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. Fourth and final quarter of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. He's Jim Galante. We're back in the Labatt Blue studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. This is Ask Dustin. Greg Pickle's not here. He's usually the one taking your questions, which you can submit whenever you want using the Keystone Sports app. There's an Ask Greg button. You click it. It's real simple and easy to fire off a question. You ask it. We answer it on the air. We also award a bottle of wine from our friends at tailgatewine.com to the person who we deem asked the best question. That's usually Greg's responsibility as well. It's going to be mine this week, and I'm looking forward to it. If you're looking for a unique gift idea, you do have to check out tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. Let's talk Penn State football. Let's take your questions. I'm always interested to see where the fans are thinking, what they're thinking about.
All right, let's start with our good friend Joseph from Scranton. It's a fact that you have a better chance of getting to the national championship with a higher star average. The new thing in recruiting is analytics. You would think that the star average and analytics would go hand in hand, but it seems that Penn State, it doesn't work that way. Are we missing something? I think what he's talking about is Penn State, some of the three stars that they like so much,
yeah,
it doesn't follow the four and five star ranking.
And I think over time, you just cannot dispute what four and five stars and what that base of elite athletes, what that means to your team, your program's ability to win week in, week out. Like, we had Bill Connolly, who used to be with SB Nation. He's with ESPN now. He phrased the blue chip ratio thing, which is a Bud Elliott from SB Nation thing. He keeps track of that. And there's some very real tangible evidence, some outliers, some differences for sure. But Bill Connolly phrased it as it's margin for error. Having, consistent four and five star prospects on your roster, it's margin for error, where you just don't have as much developmentally when you're talking about three stars and those types of players. I wrote a pretty in-depth piece for Penn Live not that long ago on this very idea, and talked to a number of the players in the class, and not to explain away carry Penn State's water on this one, but I think there's quite a few players in this class who their star ratings aren't fair or true to what their upside is. And when you get into the analytics, I think, Penn State has a deep belief in their position coaches to do their job in terms of teaching football technique and all that. They also have a very deep belief in Dwight Gault and their strength and conditioning staff to turn the attributes that they're looking for in players into viable football talent. So I think that's what you've seen a lot, is that Penn State has found and targeted players that they love their physical attributes and believe that they can work with them and mold them into something bigger later. I also can't help, and I don't know if this is part of Penn State's thinking, but they were so excellent recruiting in 2018 and 2019, got guys who are ready to play right away. I don't doubt that part of what the allure of the 2020 class is guys who might be a year or two further away than what you might look for. Like, if you're loaded with 18 and 19 guys who are going to be the core part of the roster now, they're going to be the core part of the roster in 2020. So I think taking on more guys who are going to take a little longer to develop was part of the idea in the 2020 class. And to get those types of guys means that you're not getting four and five stars. You're getting a heavy dose of three stars.
Well, let's name some names. At wide receiver, if you could get Julian Fleming, you get him.
Absolutely.
But there's only so many five stars to go around, and you're going to Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State. Those schools are going to get their fair share. Next, what are the things that you are looking for? So in this situation, if you're James Franklin, surely you take Julian Fleming if you can.
Well, absolutely.
If you can't, you get that kid who might be a three-star, but he has the length you like, or the speed that you like, and maybe he's not been to all the camps yet.
Right, and wide receiver is actually a pretty good example here, because Parker Washington, they've got Jaden Dotton, who they like, who is more recognized by recruiting services. He's a four-star in the 24/7 composite. Parker Washington, he's 5'10", 200 pounds. So he's not the burner that you would, you know, if you're sub 6 feet, you better be a 4.4 guy if you want to be a four or, you know, get into that five-star conversation. But Parker Washington is a pretty ideal scheme fit because he's going to be a very good slot player who you can bump outside once in a while if you need to. He's a really accomplished. He ran in the mid 4.5s out at the opening in Dallas last month. He's a really good player, but he's 5'10", 201. He's not 6'3", 200 pounds. He's not going to screen. So he made quite an impression at the opening, but still didn't get a 4-star. He is a 4-star by Rivals. The other one is, obviously Norval Black. People don't really know much about these JUCO guys yet. The recruiting services haven't really gone in depth on the JUCOs yet. He will probably get a little bit more love later. And the most recent commit, Malik Mega, is from Canada. He's 6'3", 190 pounds. He runs a low 4.4 40. So he's from Canada, and he's not as well evaluated as some of the other guys in the class.
He's the one that matches the analytics, but maybe not the stars yet.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get to our next question. Nate from Mars. Which player's production is more crucial to Penn State's success this year, KJ Hamler or Micah Parsons?
I think we fielded that last week, maybe, with Greg.
Should I move on?
I think, boy, it really, the answer to that just depends on what you like. Micah Parsons, if he's a game wrecker, if he's not just your top tackler, but he's a guy who's racking up tackles for loss, I'm going to go with him.
All right. Tony from Edders, PA. I think this is a buddy of Greg's. Penn State led the country with players in the transfer portal the first year of it. Is this a serious problem in the program or simply great competition for playing time?
I would lean more towards the second about the competition. Two factors, really. Penn State is in more of a hurry to graduate players than other programs are. James Franklin wants to get that done in 3.5 years to give maximum flexibility to all involved. If you graduate in 3.5 years, you want to stay at Penn State, you pursue your, you know, a master's, what have you, you can do that. Or you can graduate and you can transfer, or you can graduate and you can move on to the NFL. It gives options everywhere. Penn State wants options to turn the roster over. The players want options to be able to pursue the last year or two of their academics and their athletic career. The other part of it was the 2018 class in particular, and now the 2019 class, these are such good young players that they displaced veterans faster than usual. So you had a lot of those displaced guys end up in the portal. So I think it's temporary and not a huge problem.
Well, I agree. I think it's the three-year program that's part of James Franklin's strategy now. It's going to create the larger turnover, and I don't think it's bad, like you said. It's good for the player. It's also good for the program. It's also why we're going to see 30 recruits this year. All right, next up, Mike from Lake Winola. He's interested in the fact that Texas A&M has come into the Mid-Atlantic region and is getting several commits. What do you think's behind it? New coach smell, facilities, or another Pony Express in Texas, and he has the S's in Express as dollar signs.
Yeah. Well, Jimbo Fisher came along, and he is a national brand coach. He's a guy who gets your attention no matter what. So he's bringing in a program there that and I think coming from the north and going south, I think there's a lot of intrigue to leaving Pennsylvania, Maryland, whatever, and going south and playing in the SEC. And now Texas A&M's got a coach who is willing and able to do that. I don't know what the look of his staff is.
Well, I have the advantage of seeing these questions ahead of time.
Yeah.
So I did my homework.
Okay.
Texas A&M has a couple recruits from New Jersey, from Maryland, and they have an assistant coach who's been – his name shows up in the recruiting, Elijah Robinson.
Yeah.
Penn Stater, originally from Camden, coached at Temple. So I just think he's the Juwan Sider of Texas A&M up here in the Mid-Atlantic.
So if there were an SSN, a Sunshine Sports Network in Florida, they'd be asking the same thing about what's going on, why is Penn State coming into Florida? They've got an assistant, you know, who's able to do that. They've got a program that's on the cusp of being able to be a national caliber program, but they've got an assistant with roots there, with relationships there, and they're using them. I suspect it's the same thing with Texas A&M.
All right. This question is from a couple weeks ago, but I think it's relevant. It's from Bill in Philadelphia. RJ Adams and Thornton both visited other universities over the weekend. This was from a few weeks back. Is there a chance Franklin's lifted, softened his stance on visiting other schools? Or is the player leveraging the tumultuous state of PSU, knowing that Franklin's hands are tied? And I bring that up because of Thornton has now decommitted.
Yeah, so none of the above would be my immediate answer. But like, I don't think Franklin's softened his position, but I think his position, and I've said it all along, is idealistic more so than it is realistic. And you're just going to have kids, you know, if you've got 20 commits, the odds that all 20 are ironclad, 110%, not interested, they see their teammates getting offers, they see their buddies getting offers, they're getting phone calls, they're getting pressure hearing from other coaches. Like, it's a lot easier said than done to convince those guys to not explore all these opportunities that are now in their lap. So RJ Adams is still committed, but he's gotten offers. He took a little SEC swing set of visits. He's talking about the other offers that he's getting. He's not as ironclad on his commitment as probably most of the other players in the class. And then we saw with Dante Thornton, who visited Tennessee around the time that we got this question, visited Tennessee again. He also visited West Virginia between June and July. He was
Oregon.
And he visited Oregon as well. Okay, so he clearly wasn't set on his commitment, and he's going to be a junior in high school. He probably shouldn't have committed in the first place. James Franklin probably talked him out of it, but teenagers are emotional type kid. You know, they're kids who make decisions not always grounded in reality. They're making emotional decisions.
When they make the decision so early, there's so much time available to change their mind. But I think, going to the heart of his question about James Franklin changing his tune, I believe what James Franklin is doing is saying, you know what, Micah Parsons is a five-star and we'll always have room, we'll always have space for him.
Yeah.
Julian Fleming, I suspect if he said, gee, coach, I've changed my mind, there'll be a place for him. But if you're that three-star recruit, hey, if you're going to look around, we have the right to look around also.
Yeah.
And this spot for you may not be open in another month or two because we looked around and there are others who want this position. So that may not be fair, but we call that reality.
Well, I think you're just going to try to accelerate the decision timetable. If you're exploring your options, let's get to a point where you're either in or you're out. Let's not explore options forever. I like the question from Tony from Edders about Penn State and the transfer portal because I think it's a relevant question. I also like the question about analytics too, but Tony from Edders will be our winner of a bottle of wine from tailgatewine.com. Thanks everybody else for your submissions. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check us out, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.